Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at Resonant Truth. Today on the Zulkin Count is called Red Resonant Dragon, and it is the seventh day of the Blue Eagle Wave Spell, and it is the magnetic moon, day 18, which puts us in the middle of the third week in the west of the magnetic moon. And honestly, just the way I track, being in the third week in the west of the magnetic moon just doesn't have the same volatility or intensity, the emotionality as some of the other moons that we've been through recently. I just feel like the magnetic moon itself is so forceful and kind of fast-paced or invigorating. I'm not seeing that this week has like an exceptional theme of acceleration or emotional rawness or just like demand. If we go back to it being the magnetic moon, the first moon of the year, the first tone of the 13 tone wave spell for the year, we're attracting our purpose right now. What is your purpose? What is my purpose? This question can be answered just by looking around. That is the give and take of each moon that we move through, as we ask the question related to the tone. Every tone has a question related to it. What is my purpose? That's the question for this entire 28-day moon, and the answer is just whatever you perceive around you. And that's why we pay attention as best we can. Another way to look at the answer, or to get a kind of guideline towards the answer, is to see what wave spells are arisen in the moon that we're passing through. So what is my purpose? Blue Eagle wave spell. What is my purpose? The Yellow Star wave spell is our partial purpose. We started at the kind of beginning of the White Wind wave spell on day 3. So my purpose for this yellow electric seed year has to do with spirit communication, White Wind, and kind of being in our place of oversight or being informed by a larger view than like operating out of an instinctual drive, like a higher self looking out at the situations we encounter. Those would be maybe some ways to give you guidelines to see how your purpose is playing out or fits into that dynamic. But then you have your own information. What is my purpose for this year? Like, again, drawing in these synchronicities where all of a sudden something is arising that's either new or fulfillment of an earlier quest, but now it's really potently arrived and you can tell, like a delivery of a package, like this is going to be something I'm working on this year. This is going to occupy me this year. And it's really fun to take notes of what you do see emerging as a theme or an activity right now, because it will be something traceable throughout the year. That's the magic of natural time, is that it's real.
It's not just an exercise in, you know, imagination. It ends up being trippy that it actually has validity, and you can see the theme that emerges now as the destiny for the year. If anything that I could show as accelerating in this third week in the West, where there is an alchemy that is intense, transformative, it would just maybe be to underscore, like, look and see what your purpose is. I have this very, like, fixed example that I'm supposed to volunteer in some capacity at the prison next door to where I live. And I just know that because I wasn't trying hard to get that role. It was something that came out of me wanting to make sure I stopped fixating on my home renovation, and I just sort of threw an application into the cyber system. And as I said, I was supposed to create a resume to accompany my application, and I was like, I'm not even willing to try to resurrect something like that right now. And they accepted me anyway, and they also require like a Zoom orientation. And in my application I said, I'm going to be, you know, traveling out of the country during your orientation, so again, maybe next semester, ? And they like still let me in, and I'm going to miss the orientation. And I just think that that clearly shows that, you know, despite my best intentions to be flaky or to not be compliant, or they're accidental, you know, incidental, I'm, you know, it's not really clear that I have everything you want, but I'm giving this kind of like a vague shot. No, I've been grabbed up. I've been snatched up by some kind of fate. And I don't know that it has to be the biggest deal or drama. We'll see when I get in there and how the year plays out. But it's so obviously part of my purpose. It didn't exist in the blue lunar storm year except as an idea of moving here. But now it's getting actualized. The year itself that we're in, yellow electric seed, that tone also has a question. The question for the year is, how can I best be of service? So our purpose right now also shows us how we can best be of service. I know these are a lot of layers, and I also know these questions are not on maybe the calendar that everyone follows, Eden Sky's Sky Time calendar. You can find these questions either on an online search or in any of the material that I publish. And I do publish I have published a handbook that goes with any calendar that you use, that fills it out with the teachings that I espouse and kind of, you know, develop my own personal practice through. There are things that Jose Arguelles created that have disappeared or faded or mutated a bit since he died. And then there are tiny elemental things that I have in my own way experienced and then let evolve from Jose's teachings. But I'm not trying to sell you something, but I just get sad if I refer things here that you've only heard for the first time, and the way that I talk about them is sort of glib, or I pass over them quickly without you maybe understanding what I'm referring to. And it can be fully fleshed out using my publications, because I forget what's in Eden Sky's calendar or the one that comes from the Law of Time, and I'm just sort of talking about what I know, study, am oriented to. So every tone has a question. The question for the year that is taking us through a 13-year wave spell, and the year just started on July 26th, the question for this yellow electric seed year is, how can I best be of service? I mean, that doesn't have a to whom. To myself, selfishly. How can I best be of service to others, clearly? That's sort of the obvious implication. How can I be of service in the world? But like, how can I best be of service means, how do I stop wasting my time doing things that aren't helpful that's exhausting to our bodies. That's disorienting to our psyches. So it's not just about ingratiating ourselves or propping up this broken planet. It's also how to really live in truth and efficiency, therefore in health. How can I best be of service means, you know, how can I be on like target with my destiny? But our destinies aren't selfish. When they're spiritually oriented, they are inclined toward service with others. So again, in this magnetic moon, how can I best be of what is my purpose, which is the magnetic tones question, is oriented to the year's question, how can I best be of service? So that brings me back to like tutoring English in the prison. Clearly, one of those quintessential acts of service, it's volunteerism. It's a population of people that we think of as often needing extra support. You know, it's not very inventive. It's pretty plain spoken. I am, again, just indicating that that came surfacing into my life very divinely without much effort and against actually the grain of logic in my own life. And it's the first thing I can think about, and it's the one I'm willing to make public, and you have your version. But I'm sure that the magnetic moon has brought more than one fixture of purpose or service. It's peppered with that, and that's why it's interesting to take notes and see what sticks, what emerges as a grand theme, what your trajectory might be. And boy, this is like a total Blue Eagle discourse. Again, the teacher, the professor, Blue Eagle people that I have known in my life, known a lot, are very professorial. And just like professors, I mean, again, this is sort of like a characterization. I mean, there are all kinds of professors out there, but the sort of professor that's so in their head with their furrowed brow and their complex thoughts and their devotion to their own thinking process and conveying it to others, you know, kind of all tightened up in their facial features. And you can see that they're just churning through something in their mind. Like, how attached to their lower chakras are these people? Are they also sexy? Do they walk with their hips, you know, swaying? No, it's a shut down, tightened down body with an explosive mind. It doesn't mean every Blue Eagle person doesn't have like a healthy libido and, you know, an open and flowing set of lower chakra experiences. I just think you have to work towards that if you're a Blue Eagle person to make sure you're in balance, because your mind is your destiny. And in the Blue Eagle time, we also have to like both celebrate that we have high mental acuity and focus while also checking in to see how much we're tamping down our lower chakras if we want to live in balance. I mean, the idea of these wave spells is that they're really long, fruitful celebrations of the tribes. We get days with the tribe, but then we get a 13-day span with the tribe. And there's no reason in a Blue Eagle wave spell to be like, oh my God, I have to make sure that I am still sexual and doing my yoga poses and, you know, rolling along the earth and all of these dramatic depictions of being in our bodies rather than up in our heads, our thoughts disconnected in some way. Great, do that. But on the other hand, like, this is your moment to shine as a scholar, as a thinker, as a seer, as someone with an overview. And, you know, coming through one cultural crisis after another, the volatility of the Trump, you know, administration and all of the, you know, emotional rancor that came with that is now followed in just this next wave of like terror and trauma by pandemic demands. And I think there's something beautiful in the Blue Eagle time where we can carve out our own interpretation or awareness of what is both happening globally or collectively, as well as, you know, what we think or see about our own experience within it. And I mean, I can't really speak to that here because, you know, it unfortunately for me, it is still continues to be a divisive experience of differing strong viewpoints about the odyssey we're on. So part of my Blue Eagle experience is a really clear orientation to what we're moving through culturally around COVID. And yeah, it still seems like it creates factions and disruptions in relationships. But on the other hand, up in my head, can be told or hear or see, you know, what it is that I feel or value about what we are experiencing. And then maybe the only great thing about Blue Eagle is all of that happens without rancor, without strong emotion. There can be like certainty, you know, that sort of scientific certainty, like, oh, well, this is what I feel and believe. I'm not, you know, overcome with shame or vulnerability because you might believe something different. Instead, I'm purposeful and I'm thoughtful, and this is what I've come to ascertain with my Blue Eagle mind. And no, we can get along. We don't have to argue about it. So like, it's not emotionally churning or volatile to have ideas. When you're in Blue Eagle, you just have the ideas and you're preoccupied with ideas, and maybe you are passionate about your ideas, but from a place that, again, doesn't maybe have all this heat that comes from like those root chakra survival themes. Okay, so that's Blue Eagle, and I think we've covered a magnetic moon. I am once again reminding you, if you're a regular listener or if you're a new listener, I'm taking off. I love to podcast. If I could podcast from far, far away, I would, but I would have to bring my big microphone and my laptop, and that's not going to happen. So I'll be absent from the airwaves for the tail end of the Blue Eagle wave spell, pushing deep into the Yellow Star wave spell. And to that end, I just want everyone, again, to be paying attention, to be oriented to the transition that's coming. Because recently we started a new year, clearly, July 26th. Obviously, it's 18 days ago as we're on Magnetic Moon Day 18. But we also, imminently, will be at the end of the Zolkin. And the end of the Zolkin is powerful, just like the end of the natural time year, the Mayan year, the 13 moon year, because things are pretty calm at the end. There's a resolution, there's spaciousness, there's a tapering down or off, there's an exhalation, sort of like those last breaths of, you know, a journey that used to make us pant, but we've calmed down from and we're in the endorphin relaxation state of having achieved, overcome. And then things wind up again. So interestingly, you know, we're in the wind up of the 13 moon year, but it'll be in the lunar moon, the second moon of our 13 moon year, that we start our next Zolkin. So, I mean, that's a very future story. That's weeks away, and I don't need to address that here. But I think my invitation is just, it's a reminder that when things are in the wind down process, celebrate and enjoy, because when they wind up, and, you know, essentially we're still going to be in the wind up of our 13 moon year when we hit the new Zolkin, and that might intensify or overwhelm or dramatize karma. Karma gets underscored instead of like living loosely. It gets tightened up and pointed and grabs our attention. You know, just this expansiveness at the end of the Zolkin is to be enjoyed. My mom is super fixated on what Jose Arguelles called the castles within the Zolkin. I call them the spirals. They are quartets of wave spells. There are five spirals in the Dzogchen, so it's each quartet of wave spells is 52 days long. That's the math. 5 times 52 is 260. The first quartet or spiral is in the east. The second is in the north. The third is in the west. The fourth is in the south. But then finally, we have the center, the green spiral of enchantment. Again, originally, if you are researching older literature and presentation, that's where I have reinterpreted Jose's teaching. The green castle of enchantment to me doesn't have any worth or merit in that language. Just it's too literal. What does that mean, a castle? Whereas Jose really taught out of this almost Dungeons and Dragons iconography when he began publicizing his intuition. But a spiral to me just mirrors that we're always moving in circles, and we spiral through four wave spells in each spiral. Again, for example, the spiral that we're in right now in the center, or the green spiral, started with red moon and then white wind, then blue eagle where we are now, and it'll finish with the yellow star. So we always are repeating red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow. But we have this addition and this celebration of green only in one instance throughout all the color coding of the calendars that we follow here in natural time, through all the orientations of east, north, west, south. There's one moment, this moment, where we find the center, and the center is colored green. So this is what my mother's fixation ends up being, is that the green, what she calls the green castle, I'm calling it the green spiral. The green spiral is trippy. It's beyond. It's enchantment. It's beyondness. There's not the east related to the mind, the north related to the spirit, the west related to the emotions, the south related to the body. It's the center, and it is beyond those descriptions. It is a place of enchantment. And that's a looseness, you know. When something's sort of out of line with our other awareness and our other experience, it becomes more cosmic, more loose, more dimensional. And we're in that time and space right now. And that's, I agree with my mom that there is something really rarefied about it. There are other times when I think we get to that rarefied place, such as the center column of the Dzogchen. That's the 20 days that's really runs as a ribbon through the center of the Dzogchen. I also think we find it at the day out of time, which is always July 25th in the day between years. So a certain resonance of otherness, and that's really great, right? To be in something other is to not be in the pandemic, to not be in a climate crisis. Otherness is escape from the daily demands on our human experience. So enjoy it. Enjoy it. And then it's going to probably get more real. More real, what does that mean? Just, it's the invitation to engage with our karma. We are humanoid. We are occupants of the planet. We can't escape that. So we wouldn't want to try to escape it. Escape is denial. If we get real, it means we open ourselves through spiritual rigor, which is definitely what the Mayan teachings ask of us. It's not for lightweights. It's not dreamy, spacey. It is at times. That's why I'm like, hey, this is the dreamy, spacey moment. And then we have to get like back to work. And the work is exposing ourselves to truth and honesty about the predicament of our particular incarnation. Obviously, and maybe it goes too much unsaid, the whole other truth of human experience is this multidimensional spiritual walk that I particularly find enlivening and fulfilling through Mayan teachings. That's why we're here on the podcast together, because this is splendid and offsets a lot of the trauma of being human and the trauma we create in our human appetites. And we get to turn ourselves towards, I don't know, attempts at nobility in our human experience. However, in terms of so-called reality, things are dark and challenging, and we don't want to pretend that we can avoid that. Like, we can't. That's been my big, it's the Blue Eagle moment for me is kind of the culmination of a few months of a really heavy emotional weight as I come through, like, truly a second wave of existential crisis in my own contemplation, in my own, quest for clarity. I had a really deep existential crisis when I was a youth leaving home and going to college. And then I turned 52, and it seems to be accompanied by a second round that's equally potent and memorable and defined. You know, I can define my existential awakening when I was 18 because it was so obvious and unavoidable. Like, it caught me in my tracks and forced me to, you know, redefine perception. And that's happening now. It's happening really starkly, but it also seems to me in my Blue Eagle moment to be winding down in terms of a shocking, emotionally demanding, you know, just how we suffer when we suddenly have to break free from a paradigm that was confining us. It's like painful to make the escape, but then on the other side, there are tasks ahead of us, but they maybe are, you know, we've been we've entered a situation rather than being in the entry portal, we've made it through and we can examine it more plainly. So whatever, Blue Eagle to me has clarified the belief system that has been struggling to be rebirthed in me or birthed for the first time. And now I just have the beliefs. And you don't have to hear about them right now, I promise. I think I already have been letting them eke out as I was spilling over with new discovery of feelings and thoughts. They had to bleed out here. You know, it was like this cry from the heart, a certain anguish of accepting how painful it is to be aware of where we have driven ourselves as a species and who we've taken hostage along the way. And now it's kind of like, it is what it is. Maybe that's a Blue Eagle, like a truism in the most casual terms. So you have enough information to be kind of launched into awareness of how we're winding down. We finish the Blue Eagle wave spell, then we enter Yellow Star, the final wave spell of the Zolk'in. And I will speak to that before I take off. I'm going to have another podcast at minimum, and I'll try to really address the future of the Yellow Star wave spell so you can be launched toward that in my absence. And I'm just trying to think if there are any other things. Like I said, it's a portal day. We don't have portals again until Yellow Cosmic Sun, the last day of the Zolk'in. And always we complete the Zolk'in on a portal day, and then we start again. Red Magnetic Dragon the next day is a portal day as well. But right now we're devoid of portals after this Red Resonant Dragon day, which, did I say, is my grandmother's Mayan birthday. She died when she was 101. So like stretching towards 104, if 52 years, which I'm at, is a sort of rebirth, making it to 104, which would be the second time we completed a 52-year cycle. That's pretty ambitious and increasingly normal. So we can aim for that in the new age. Although I think we're shaving off years through stress and reckoning. So maybe this whole aging elongation is not endless. I am just filling time here. I think I want you all to know that I wake up at 3 a.m. to prepare for European time. So I feel really lucky that I don't just have to do crosswords until it gets light out, that I got to spend some time holding forth in a professorial way in the Blue Eagle Wave Spell with those that tune in. And thanks for being there. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.